One of the funniest stories that I was ever told in my life was told to me by a man who died 2 days after he told me the story. And the story was about his being a pallbearer at a funeral at which one of the other pallbearers was much shorter than the other pallbearers. And I cried with laughter at this story because they dropped the coffin. He told me that story. He told me two stories. And the other story he told me was a joke, which I now have to tell you because I can't think of anything else to say, which is a man goes into a funeral parlor. An old woman goes into a funeral parlor and the man says, "Is everything to your satisfaction?" And she says, "Yes, but you did say you'd bury him in the blue suit, not the grey suit." And the man says, "We can sort this out with the minimum of fuss, Mrs. Smith. Fred, change the heads on number 6 and number 8. My grandfather,
one of the funniest stories.
My grandfather,
that I was ever told
was a ventriloquist.
In my life, was told to me
he died when my mother was 12.
Who died?
So I never met him.
2 days after he told me the story,
his ventriloquist dummy
was
called George.
His being a pallbearer
after he died
at a funeral.
When I was
at
very
which
young.
One of the other pallbearers,
my grandmother,
was much shorter than the other pallbearers,
used to do this very lame
and
ventriloquist
I cried
act with George
with laughter at this story because they dropped the coffin.
We loved it. She was terrible.
He told me that story. He told me two stories, and the other story
after
he told me was a joke.
I became a novelist. I read a review of a Peter Carey novel.
I can't think of anything else to say. Which is
from the
a
New
man
York Times
goes into a funeral parlor,
which said a great work,
an old woman
of literary ventriloquism.
The man says, "Is everything to your satisfaction?"
And I thought,
she says, "Yes."
Strip away the metaphor.
Did say
it's the greatest novel metaphor of all.
Suit, not the greatest.
Write a novel about ventriloquists.
The man says,
"Effortless.
We can sort this out.
Everything the
Minimum
modern novel frets about,
fuss, Mrs. Smith,
I can write about.
Fred,
in an unpretentious
change the heads
way
on number 6 and number 8.
And so I found George lost in my family. And in fact, it was with my uncle's illegitimate daughter, and it only took a phone call and £400. But before we made that phone call, I thought, what if my grandfather could communicate with me through this ventriloquist dummy? And that was the novel.
That I was ever told
was a ventriloquist.
Was told to me
he died
by a man
when my mother was 12.
Who died,
so I never met him.
2 days after he told me the story,
his ventriloquist dummy
was about.
Was called. I don't really like his baseball.
Being a pallbearer after he died
at a funeral. I don't really like basketball.
When I was
at
very
which
young.
One of the other pallbearers,
my grandmother,
it's
was
just
much shorter than the other.
It's the same score for the whole game.
Used to do this,
and in the last 3 minutes,
and I'm
ventriloquist
act,
with it changes
at the story because they dropped the car.
We loved it. I liked
she
cricket.
Was terrible. He told me that story. He told me two stories.
Which is
another
baseball
story
with a bounce.
After told me was a joke.
I became a novelist.
I read a review.
I've been
of a Peter Carey
pitched
novel.
At.
I think of anything else to say.
Windmill style,
which
from
is
the
a
New
man
York Times,
came into a funeral parlor, which said a great work, an old woman
of literary. I think I like any sports spectacles.
And I thought, she says. Yes,
strip away the
metaphor.
I'd go to any
it's the greatest novel
match one could think of between any two teams.
Write a novel about ventriloquists, the man says.
But American football.
Sort this out. Everything the modern novel frets about.
That seems like the death of entertainment.
I can write Fred in an unpretentious way.
Change the heads on number 6 and number 8. Ice hockey.
And so I found George lost in my family.
I quite like.
And in fact, it was with my uncle's illegitimate daughter, and it only took a phone call and £400. But before we made that phone call, I thought, what if my grandfather could communicate with me through this ventriloquist dummy? And that was the novel. My grandfather, one of the funniest stories,
my grandfather,
that I was ever
was
told
a ventriloquist.
To me,
he died
man,
when my mother was 12.
He died, so I never met him. 2 days after he told me the story,
his
ventriloquist story dummy was about. Was called
I don't really like his baseball. Charles Dickens.
At a funeral.
I don't really like basketball.
When I was
at
very
which
young.
One of the other pallbearers,
my grandmother,
it's
was
just
much shorter
Peter Aykroyd. It's the same
Paul
score
bears.
For the whole game.
Used to.
And in the last 3 minutes,
and ventriloquist act.
Arsenal Football Club.
Story, because they dropped the.
We loved it. I liked
she
cricket.
Horrible. He told me that story.
My old house on the Gold Hawk Road.
After I became a novelist, I read a review.
I've been
of a Peter Carey
pitched
novel.
At. My mother and my family lived in Hastings,
style,
from the New York Times, which is.
Which said a great
an hour and a half, or 2 hours away from London.
I think I like any sports spectacle. And I thought, she says.
And I now live in Philadelphia.
Yes, strip away the
I go to any,
which is it's the greatest
kind of the same distance
one
from
could
New
think
York
of between any two teams. Write a novel about ventriloquists.
And that's completely
that
how I judge.
Everything
how
the novel frets about.
That seems like and for what event I should go to New York from Philadelphia.
6 and number 8.
Would I have gone there?
Ice hockey
from Hastings
and
to London to see
lost in my
Bob Dylan.
I quite like.
Yeah, sure.
And in fact,
how about that party?
Nah,
probably not.
And it only took a phone call and £400.
Al Stewart?
But
Old Compton
we made
Street.
That phone call, I thought, what if my grandfather could communicate with me through this ventriloquist dummy? And that was the novel.
Grandfather
that I was ever told was a ventriloquist was told to me he
died when my mother was 12, who died, so I never met her. 2 days after he told me the story. His ventriloquist dummy was about... Was
I don't really like his baseball, Charles Dickens.
I don't really like basketball, when I was
at which young. One of the other pallbearers,
my grandmother...
It's just Peter Aykroyd.
It's the same score for the whole game.
Used to do this.
And in the last 3 minutes,
and like
Arsenal Football Club. Cricket.
Terrible.
He told me that.
My old house on the Goldhawk Road.
After I became a novelist, I've read a really
I've been the first most beautiful woman my mother and my family ever saw in my life.
Which said a great
hour and a half was acting in a production
away from
think
London, I like
of Ubu Roy.
I now live in Philadelphia.
Strip away the
I go to any,
which is
the greatest
kind of Cambridge University
think of between any two teams
in 1984,
and that's completely how I judge
everything.
How
friends about
that seems like,
and she had a boyfriend.
What event I should go to New York from Philadelphia?
Six and number eight.
Would I have gone there? Ice hockey from Hastings.
To London,
to
and I started going out.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
sure.
Probably by coincidence.
How about that party?
With the woman who lived in a house with her.
Probably not. And it only took a phone call about £400.
Al Stewart.
But.
And we're still friends.
Street.
Me and her, not me and the woman. Welcome to my mind. I am never still.
My grandfather. One of the funniest stories.
My grandfather. When I lie in bed, my foot is always moving in circular motions. And sometimes my leg,
Charles Dickens,
jiggles
I don't really like
so much in my office chair that I don't know how I will stop it moving. And I put my hand on it. And I like to explore the very complicated geography
the first
of my cuticles
woman, my mother and my family ever
with my
life,
teeth. And in every novel that I've written, was acting in a production of Ubu Roy. There is a very long description of the narrator biting his nails.
How I judge how.
And one time, a friend of mine, she had a boyfriend, to my casual remark, "I'm pretty laid back," meaning I don't mind if you do that. And I started going out. Said, "Wes, you are the least laid back person."
How about
in
that
the world
party?
With the woman who lived in a house with her.
And he reminds me of that every time I see him. Al Stewart.
Because I am never still.
And we're still friends.
I pace. Me and her, not. I cannot talk on the telephone without movement. The other day I spoke to somebody and the battery on my car, on my phone, was going down and I had to plug it into the car, and I just had to sit there and listen.
welcome to my mind. My mind cult. I am never still. I'm inserting subliminal messages. When I lie in bed, my foot is always moving in circular motions. When I found out, and sometimes an amazing leg,
Charles Dickens,
called Cults, so much
put out by the research
chair. Publishing company
that I don't know how I will stop it moving.
And I put my hand on it. And I like to explore the very complicated geography.
They had a book on body manipulation
of my cuticles and cuticle manipulation. It was all about the
and in every
faker
novel,
who puts hooks through his body and hangs from the ceiling. And it was all about how various foods
there is
that you eat
very long description in
affect biting his nails, your performance later in the bathroom.
And one time a friend of mine, she had a
particular favourites.
To
asparagus.
My casual remark, I'm pretty
beetroot,
meaning I don't
they all affect
if you do
people
that.
In different
I
ways.
Going out, said, Wes, you are the least
probably
laid back person.
And they had a book on pranks. I love that book on pranks. And he reminds me of that every time I see him. And I still have all those research books. Because I am never still. In my little glass front bookshelf,
I pace
next to the section on
I cannot
magic
talk on the telephone without movement.
And ventriloquism.
The other day I spoke to somebody and the battery on my car, on my phone was going down and I had to plug it into the car. And I just had to sit there and listen. Welcome to my mind cult.
Mark Rothko.
I am never still. I'm inserting subliminal messages.
I have a huge Mark Rothko.
By my record.
When I lie in bed.
It's not an original. My foot is always moving.
And I look at it all the time.
Emotions.
And Mark Rothko.
When I found out, and sometimes
is the first art,
an amazing leg
I ever responded to,
jiggles
so in and put out by the
adult
chair. Emotional way,
publishing company
that I don't know, and what this led to
stop it moving. And I put my hand
was
on
me being thrown out of the Tate Gallery when I was a very keen. 17-year-old art enthusiast.
The very complicated geography.
They had a book on body manipulation. Because I decided that I would sink into the Rothko painting.
Faker. Who puts
and they were all in one room. I didn't attack a Rothko painting.
And it was all about.
But they were huge. All in one room in the Tate Gallery. How various.
Food.
And I just sank into them and lay down your performance
on the middle in the bathroom
and one time
sofa,
a friend of mine, she had particular favourites to asparagus, and looked at
casual
them
remark,
from various angles.
Meaning
there was a very beautiful ochre, people in different
and
ways,
green one
and a very gorgeous
you are the least
one,
probably back person.
And they had a
in
book on
pranks.
And that was probably
I
when I was most still
every
in my entire life.
Every time I see it.
I was probably jiggling a little.
And I still have all those research books.
And that
never
was when the guard came up to me.
I pace.
And said to the section on, you've been in here long enough.
And ventriloquism.
You can buy a postcard.
The other day I spoke to somebody in the battery on my car.
And I said, are there any actual size?
And I just had to sit
there. And he said, there are posters. And so I left the Tate Gallery. I apparently have nothing grand to say about poetry.
Mark Rothko.
I'm not a poet.
I am never...
Or improvisation.
I'm inserting subliminal messages.
I have a huge Mark Rothko.
When I lie in bed...
It's not original. My favourite museum
is always moving.
Used to be, and I look at it, Potter's Museum of Curiosities.
And Mark Rothko, when I found out, and sometimes...
Which was at Bizarre, at Jamaica Inn,
responded to,
like Daphne Du Maurier,
in
adult Devon,
emotional way,
in the middle of nowhere.
That I don't know.
And what this led
and
to,
in it,
were all Potter's
was me being
thrown out. Of stuffed
the
animals. Hundreds of
when
little...
I was a very keen...
Squirrels.
17-year-old art enthusiast.
At school.
A very complicated...
With a teacher
a book,
and a black body.
Because
an
I
enormous glass case.
Sink
half that size.
Into the rock.
With Who Killed Cock Robin... And they were all in one room. And someone really had killed Cock Robin and stuffed it.
And it was all about...
But they were huge.
And it was the most
all in one
bizarre
room,
the museum of this guy's tableau of stuffed, dead
sank into
animals.
Effect
and lay down. And it closed. I went there on holiday once. Actually stayed in the museum. There were a couple of bedrooms up there.
Asparagus.
And looked at
casual
them.
Remark
from various
and
some
angles.
Auction company auctioned it all off.
People in different
every
ways.
Item. And I lived in America by then. And I had to get on the phone to bid on them.
And they had a book on.
And I couldn't afford anything.
When I was most still.
But the most depressing thing.
I was probably jiggling a little.
And I still have all those research books.
And that
never
was that guard came up. There were maybe 1,000 things on sale. You've been in Bonham's,
long enough,
was the auctioneer's.
You can buy a postcard.
In every one lot.
And I said,
there was a misprint.
Are there any actual
every
size?
Single one. And I was looking at that catalogue.
There are posters.
This morning.
And so I left the Tate Gallery.
And it was very sad.
I don't know why I brought that.
I apparently have nothing grand to say about poetry. When I was 20,
Mark Rothko,
I'm not a poet. I got a scholarship to Brown University. Brown students came to my college at Cambridge.
It's not original.
My favourite museum. And so somebody said, used to be, these students should go to Brown.
Potter's Museum of Curiosity.
So I said, sure, I'll apply. And I got the place. But there was no money to go with it, which was at Bizarre. And unlike in England at the time, where the government paid for your education, in
adult Devon,
in America,
in the middle
they didn't and don't.
And what this
so I couldn't take the place. So I
was me being
put an advert in the local paper
of stuffed
and said, does anybody want to give me money? My mother did.
Hundreds of little.
Does anybody want to give my son money? And there was actually a response to this. Said, meet me in this pub at this time.
With a teacher and a black body.
And so I went. The guy was a bona fide English businessman. Said I was very impressed with what I saw. How much money do you need? I said, it's not a problem. We drank a lot of beer.
But they were huge.
And it was the most
all-in-one room.
And he said at the end of the night, would there be any problems
that I just
you're taking certain small packages to America with you.
And it closed.
And I said,
I went there on holiday once.
I'd like the money, but I'm not really going to do that. He said, fine, meet me on the memorial, middle of town, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll give you the money.
And some...
And I went
auction
there.
Auction company auctioned it all off.
Middle of town, shoppers, every night, everybody.
And I lived in America by then.
And of course,
and
you never showed up.
I had to get on the phone to bid on them.
And
they had a book on. And I couldn't afford anything. When I was most
it was the centre of town where I'd previously made my career as a busker, playing the guitar. And I waited for, you know, an hour and a half.
There were
then I got the bus back home.
Things on sale.
And that was the end of me in Brown University.
Was the auctioneer.
But I guess I ended up in America.
Every one lot.
And I, said I think there of was a misprint. Ingrid Scheibler,
every single one,
who gave me
and I was looking at that
one of those John Cage square books.
This morning.
I can't remember what it was called. I've still got it.
And it was very sad.
And she'd be very amused at me sitting here now.